His grace tonight. Amen. The book of Numbers, chapter 21. Numbers 21 for just a few minutes this evening. Amen. At least 36 minutes. Amen. Numbers 21. And I want to read some verses here, several verses tonight from this text, and deliver to you the thought that God give to me this week. Amen. I believe for the service tonight. If you want, willing and able to, you can stand with us as we'll begin our reading in Numbers 21 in verse number 10. The Bible said, "And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. They journeyed from Oboth and pitched at Aji-Abarim in the wilderness, which is before Moab, toward the sun rising. From thence they removed and pitched in the valley of Zered. From thence they removed and pitched on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness. It cometh out of the coast of the Amorites. For Arnon is the border of Moab between Moab and the Amorites. Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, what he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon, and at the stream of the brooks it goeth down to the dwelling of Ar and lieth upon the border of Moab. From thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song." I can't wait to preach that. Amen. Then Israel sang this song. Literally, you'll find Israel has not sang since Exodus chapter number 15 when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And this has been a long time since they've been able to sing, but they sang right here in this place. "Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes digged the well, the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. From the wilderness they went to Mataanah, and from Mataanah to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel to Bamoth, and from Bamoth in the valley, that is in the country of Moab, to the top of Pisgah, which looketh toward Jeshimon." And we'll leave off our reading there this evening. You can be seated. Let's pray together one more time. And we'll ask the Lord for His divine help. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, how grateful we are for Your mercy and for Your grace. We're thankful tonight for the Lord Jesus, and it's by His name and by His grace and the blood that He shed. And Lord, we come before You again this evening asking and desiring the help of the Lord to be upon us. Lord, we know that in ourself we deserve nothing, as there dwelleth no good thing in us. But Lord, we come tonight understanding that, Lord, we surely need the help of God. And without it, Lord, we'll go unhelped. And so, Lord, I pray that by Your Spirit and through Your Word tonight, You'd help the people of God. Lord, unctionize us and empower us tonight to be able to preach what You've laid upon our heart. And Lord, we'll thank You for what You do and what You say and the help that You send. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we do pray again and ask it. Amen and amen. Now, Numbers chapter 21, we understand in this text we find the continued account of what we know to be the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel after that of the Kadesh Barnea experience. Kadesh Barnea, they rejected the perfect plan of God to go into the land of Canaan. And as a result of that rebellion, God has turned them back into the wilderness to make this long drawn out loop and circle that is going to result in a great, great multitude of the children of Israel dying under the judgment of God. We see part of that judgment that is extended in chapter number 21 in the story I referenced just a moment ago by way of talking about what we would have preached this morning had God not laid another direction on our heart. and that of the fiery serpents coming into the camp and biting the people because of their murmuring against the Lord and against the Lord's man Moses. God literally brought many in that scene to death, and how God gave a word of deliverance and a sign of salvation. And what a story that was. And in the verses we've read tonight, there is a description that we find in these journeys from that place in that scene of the fiery serpents. In the context of the events in this text, we read in verse number 14, where the Bible says, speaking in this place Arnon, that they have found themselves there on the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. The Bible said, wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, what he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon. And this phrase, the book of the wars of the Lord, this is and needs to be said, because in some of the things in areas that I studied, one preacher, so-called, said that this is one of the missing books of the Bible. Amen. Look up here and listen good and loud. There are no missing books of the Bible. Amen. This simply is a reference to a historical document that has long since been lost, believed to have recorded historically some miracles and victories that the children of God had seen along the way. It is not a missing book of the Bible. Amen. It's not a missing element to the Word of God. We believe in, amen, a completed canon of Scripture that says that, amen, God has preserved His Word to every generation, and what God intended on us to know from a spiritual standpoint from His Word has been preserved for you and I in the Word of God. But that being said, there is a reference here to this other historical document that would have contained some man's writing of the things that God has done for the children of Israel in those wilderness wanderings. And ain't you glad tonight that, amen, our God, He is a man of war, He is a Lord of war, and, amen, does miracles and victories even in the wilderness wanderings of our life. Now, the two things in a reference here caught my attention, as this is a scriptural reference to a historical document. And these two events take place in the Word of God. They are recorded in the Word of God, amen, beyond a historical significance. They have a spiritual implication to you and I tonight. And the reference here is what He did, that is the Lord, what He did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon. And so we have a reference here to the Red Sea crossing there as Israel came out of Egypt's land. And when you think about what God did there, I don't know that you'll find any greater record in the Word of God of a display of God's power and God's strength and God's might in all the Word of God. How did my friend a million or more Israelites being led out of Egypt were delivered not only from Egypt, but also from the very hand of Pharaoh, and God parted the Red Sea and walled them across on dry ground, and Pharaoh and his armies, the Bible said, is saying to do the same, amen, were drowned in the Red Sea. And what a scene that is to you and I. And what a great scene. We hear much preaching on that. But it references here that, amen, in the book of the wars of the Lord, He did what He did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon. And that's where we come to our text tonight. We're in, amen, the brooks, or we'll see in a moment, the valley of Arnon. And what God does in this place, the writer here, no doubt Moses in Numbers, says, yes, this was written down in the books of the wars of the Lord, Amen. But this is being pinned down in the Word of God as well, at what God did in the brooks of Arnon of Arnon. Amen. Display some great things about God to the same level and the same degree as God did at the Red Sea crossing. And so what we're reading about and what we've read tonight is no small matter. It just seems like we're going from one place to another place to another place. And then this little event takes place where God gives them a drink of water. And then in the remainder of the chapter, we move on to some other battles that took place. But I would tell you tonight that what God has done in this text, amen, is of no little significance to you and to me, as it proves some things about our God. Again, in verse number 14, the scene that is referenced here is called the Brooks of Arnon, but later on in this text, as we've read it tonight, in verse number 20, it is called In the Valley. And we've dealt with this and seen this in other places in our study of the God of the Valleys, how that a brook was a runoff of sorts of a water that flowed through a valley. And so where they're in the wilderness, they're in Arnon that is in the wilderness, and in the midst of this wilderness there is a brook that runs through the midst of a valley that is in this wilderness. It's amazing to me that when we study this place that is known as Arnon, this thing that God did in the brooks Arnon and in the valley of Arnon, that Arnon means a brawling stream. Amen, a brawling stream, a stream that, amen, is bubbling up and running over as the rains would fall and descend from down in the mountains. The runoff of that water would make its way through the wilderness and find its way into these tributary brooks that were in the valley. And that water would become a brawling stream. In fact, when you study the word Arnon, it comes from another word that paints the figurative picture of one shouting for joy. And so Arnon speaks of a place of joy. It speaks of, amen, the streams of rejoicing that, amen, are available to the child of God even in a wilderness land. And my friend, even in a valley sea. And yet, according to our text, in this place that, amen, is supposed to be a brawling stream of joy, amen, what we find is that God is going to provide for them, amen, a drink of water in Numbers 21 and in verse number 16. Amen, in this valley place, they come to the place Bear. And there the Lord spake unto Moses, and here's what the Lord said. He said, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Do you see that we're in a place, Arnon, it's supposed to be, amen, a bubbling stream, a brawling stream, a place, my friend, where joy is running over. But evidently, it had dried up. Evidently, when they got to this valley, amen, their joy, their stream, this brook, has all but run dry. And in this valley, it took a sovereign, miraculous act of God, amen, to gather the people together, and God said, amen, I will give them a drink. Amen, they may have happened upon this place and it's dry, but when I get done, it ain't going to be dry anymore. The people are going to be able to drink. And I'm thankful and I understand in the way in which we, amen, journey and that we walk with God. Amen, I understand the Lord promised to give us joy. I understand and believe tonight it's the will of God, amen, that we not just be, amen, drinking out of our cup, but that, amen, we should at times be sipping from our saucer. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Lord, David said, He anoints me, amen, with the oil of gladness, and that, amen, joy should be flowing in their life. Amen. But let's be honest, sometimes we reach a place in our walk with God and in our journey for God that it seems like our brawling stream of joy has, my friend, dried up, and we need God in the valley of Arnon to restore that that is lacking. And so, my friend, the Bible said again in verse 14, amen, that this is what He did, this is what God did, amen, in the brooks Arnon. What did God do? Brother A.L., God gave them a life-saving drink. Amen. They are on the verge of, amen, having another bad experience. But, amen, I'm glad there's some things my God can do in the valley. Amen. When things seem dry and things seem barren, and when it seems like the stream of joy of our life is run out, amen, thank God I serve the God of the valleys. Amen. After a long season of not being able to see, and a long season of a lot of death and a lot of bad things taking place, amen, my God can give a song again. And my God can open the wells and let the rivers flow. And praise God, prove again that He is God of the valleys. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know how you feel. I don't know if you're parched and dry. And my friend, in need of God to do something for you. But, amen, may I give you something to put your faith in tonight. Amen, what I'm preaching about tonight in the valley of Arnon, at what took place, the Bible said it is what He did. Amen, and if God done it before, God can do it again. And if God would do it physically for Israel, God can do it for you and I spiritually. Amen. Our God is the God of the valleys. Amen. And so we want to begin tonight this study on the valley of Arnon. I'm going to give you one point. I've got 3 points under those that one point. And even under one of those 3 points, I got 2 points. Amen. And we'll just give it to you as quick as we can. It won't take long tonight, but we want to study the valley of Arnon and what God did for His children, amen, in this text. Amen. And so let me say, number one, this is where we'll settle in tonight, in verses 10 through 10 through verse number 12 is what we want to look at tonight, and I call this the path into the valley. Amen. There was a path the Lord brought them along, and that their leader Moses led them down, that, amen, brought them to the valley Arnon. And we want to look at this path tonight, as I believe that, amen, this path into the valley was, amen, that we could say tonight God was proving Himself to these people long before their journey ever brought them into this valley, so that when they got there, Brother Riley, they would know that they could trust their God. Amen. And you may not be in a place of dryness tonight. Amen. But your life, and by the way, every bad thing we experience in our Christian life, amen, just cause it's bad doesn't mean it's a valley. Amen. Sometimes we just face normal, amen, things from day to day. Amen. And so don't always feel sorry for yourself when something don't go your way. Amen. And have a pity party saying how low your valley is. Amen. Everything is not a valley. Amen. And so we want to look at this path into the valley. Amen. Was God proving Himself? Amen. Was God getting them ready for what they were going to need God to do? Amen. In the valley, ain't you glad we've got a God that knows where we're headed? Amen. He knows what's waiting on you this week. Amen. If you've been following God and you've been living for God and walking with God, amen, I'm telling you, God has been getting you and I ready, amen, for the valleys and we're about ready to enter into. They don't catch God by surprise. Amen, they don't make God wonder what in the world He's going to do. Oh no, He's working in our life today, amen, to prepare us for the valleys that we may be entering into tomorrow. Amen. And so we see the path into the valley. Amen. God proving Himself faithful to you and I. Amen. Let me say a word number one in this path. Amen. I see the progress of their path. Amen. In verse number 10, notice what the Word of God said. It said, and the children of Israel said forward. And the children of Israel said forward. Amen. They are said here to, amen, be making progress. They are setting forward. Amen. The phrase said forward literally means that they pulled up the tent pins and started on a journey. Amen. Oh, I'm glad tonight. Amen. Then when we think about what lies ahead, amen, I am reminded tonight that God, amen, is setting my spiritual life forward. Amen. Now that began, amen, some 25 years ago, here in just a few days. Amen, that the Lord set me forward. Amen, when you read and set the context in Numbers 21, amen, what we find is that lives had just been saved. And the serpents had come into the camp and death was certain. And Brother A.L., God had a way of salvation. And God had a pole and God had a cross. And God had a way of deliverance to be had. Amen. By those who had been snake bit. And the Lord again in John 3 said, amen, that is the way of salvation. And that is the way in the new birth and to find eternal life. And men, my friend, are in sin and under the judgment of God. And the poison of sin and condemnation, amen, flows through our veins. Amen. But thank God for the day that the Holy Ghost came by into my life and showed me that Christ had been lifted up and that Christ was the way of salvation. And thank God the power of life and of the new birth, amen, settled in upon my life. Amen. And so our text reads, and the children of Israel, they said forward. Amen. They weren't able to go forward so long as they were snake bit with no means of deliverance. When God sent deliverance to them, amen, you know what God did in their life. Amen. He pulled up the tent pins. Amen. And they started on a journey. Amen. And may I say we're on a path tonight. Amen. In that path of salvation. Amen. It is a forward path. Amen. Brother Mo, and the fact is the phrase set forward implies progress and is the opposite of turning back. Amen. When the Lord sent deliverance to them in their hour of need and salvation began to be theirs. Amen. Not everybody was saved. Not everybody was willing to look and live. Not everybody believed the message that had gone out. Amen. But those that did look and those that did believe it, amen, they lived and God set them in a forward progress. Amen. That their lives would be lived. Amen. Not turning back. Amen. Can I say when God saved me? Amen. He didn't save me to turn back. Amen. I hear some preachers and Christians talk like at what they had in the former life. Amen. Somehow it's a glowing life. Somehow, some way, the way they talk about it. But Jack, you would think Amen. They got more joy and more pleasure, amen, out of what God supposedly saved them out of and what they have in this progress and in this path. Amen. But may I say, I ain't got anything to go back to. Amen. I told Sambo this last week as we was riding down the road, we was talking about some things. And I told him about some things my life. Amen, had been bitten by and some things that I had got caught up in. And I wasn't bragging on it. I wasn't. Amen. In fact, I began, amen, to get teary-eyed. And I looked at him and I said, son, your daddy ain't always been a preacher. I ain't always lived my life and had a desire to do right and to live for God. But Jesus made a change in me. Amen. And since then, Brother Bob, amen, I've been on a journey and God set my life forward. Amen. You see my life before I got saved. Amen. It was on a downward trend. Amen. I was headed downward. Amen. But when new life was mine, amen, thank God I got set forward. Amen. Oh, I'm trying to get off this point. Amen. It's what I call the progress of their path. Ain't you glad God saved you one day and put you on the straight and narrow way? You come through the straight gate. Amen. And it was a narrow way and there ain't a whole lot of folk on it. Amen. But I'm glad I'm one of the few. I'm glad I'm in this number. I'm glad I'm in the old time way. Amen. Running a path, you say, preacher. Amen. That path is going to lead you in a valley, and it has. Amen. These valleys, this path has brought me to. Amen. But this path into every valley, I am reminded there was a day God saved me, and God delivered me, and God set me forward. And I'm to be moving forward, never looking back. Amen. Never going backward. Amen. But always moving forward. Amen. That's good preaching. Jesus said about his disciples that if a man had put his hand to the plow, amen, that if he begins to turn back and look back, amen, Jesus said that man is not fit to be my disciple. Amen, you know why? Amen, as long as we're looking back, amen, we'll never be prepared and receive what we need today for what's coming down our road tomorrow. Amen. The progress of this path. Let me say a word about the places along their path. Amen. The places along their path. In verse 11, I read of two places that the Bible speaks about in their journey. In verse 11, notice the first place is a place that goes by the name Oboth. Oboth, if you're taking notes, it means this literally. A water skin or a bottle. Amen. And when we think about that, amen, what it speaks to my heart about tonight. Amen. That in this journey that they're on. Amen. This place Oboth speaks of the place in their journey where they only had a little left to run on. Amen. They don't have tons and tons of water. They're not running by the 50-gallon barrels. Amen. Full of water. No. Amen. They're in a place where they have been reduced to, amen, only having a little to run on. Have you ever been there? Have you ever looked at your spiritual life? Amen. And you felt like all you had, amen, was just a little to run on. Amen. But can I say this in this text? Amen. I'm jumping ahead here a little bit, Isaac. Amen. But I love this thought that, amen, they may have started out and set forward on this journey and wound up reduced to a bottle. But, amen, when God gets done with them, He's going to bring them to bear, and bear means a well. Amen. God's going to bring them from, amen, having a bottle to where they have a well. Amen. And that's what our God can do. Amen. And so we feel like at times we have been reduced to nothing more than a small bottle of water. Amen. Kind of like Hagar had. Amen. After that, her and Ishmael were kicked out of the home
of Abraham and Sarah, amen, Ishmael began to cry. All she had, amen, was a little bottle to, amen, sustain her and the child for a little while. Amen, but she didn't throw her bottle away. Amen, and God made sure she was sustained. And God made sure that that place of her life, amen, that oath of her life, amen, God filled the bottle back up. I'm glad God can fill the bottle. Amen, you may drink or dry tonight. Amen, but if all you got's a bottle, don't throw the bottle away. Amen, God can prove to you and to me His faithfulness by filling it again, and we'll have another drink on tomorrow. Oh, both. Amen. The places in their path, notice, they come to a second place. This place is known as Iji-Abarim. Iji-Abarim means literally, listen to this, ruins of the passerby. Ruins of the passerby. And it seems to imply to me that when they came to this place that there was a testimony of heaps of maybe remains and bodies and people, amen, who had gone that way before, who, my friend, did not make it. And sometimes in our spiritual journey, amen, we reach a place and face something that, and my friend, has knocked others out of the race. And we look around and we see folk that one time were in the journey with us and no longer are with us. And their lives have become testimony of a ruin and of a heap, my friend, of those that, amen, died along the way. Amen, people maybe that started out with us. Amen, people maybe got saved in the same service or the same year or in the same ministry as we did. That my friend are no longer in the work of God. But my friend, listen, amen, really these places tonight, and I'll give you the closing thought and it'll be a help to us. Amen, but these places, Oboth and Iji-Abarim, amen, they are places that remind us of our own insufficiency and the casualty of others along the way. Amen. Can you imagine being there? Sure you can, spiritually. Amen. Then you reach these places sometimes and you feel like I've only got a little and others I know have died here. And if they didn't make it, what hope do I have? Amen. May I say God is going to do something in their life. Amen, in this path into the valley of Arnon, and is going to prove Him to be faithful. Amen, He's going to bring them beyond these places and into a far greater place. Amen, that brings me to my third point. Amen, in the path into this valley. Amen, we see the progress in the places, but let me say a word tonight about the positioning in their path. I don't want you to miss this tonight. If you ain't got blessed and helped and encouraged by anything else, amen, hang with me right here. Please do not miss this. Amen, they're set forward. They have come to these places. And Brother Gerald, it doesn't look good for them. Y'all agree with that? But notice what the Bible said. In verse number 11, you say, preacher, if we're to be making progress and we reach places where it looks like we're not going to make it and we don't have enough sufficiency to make it through, what am I to do? Amen. Notice the last line of verse number 11. Here's the positioning in their path. Amen, toward the rising, amen, toward, amen, the Bible said toward the sun rising. They're in a journey, if you'll read of this valley of Arnon, the brook that run through it, it is a tributary, Brother Jerry, that runs west to east and empties into the Dead Sea. They have made their way there, and they make a turn to walk through this valley of Arnon, and on their way to the valley of Arnon. And what they do, Brother Jack, amen, they come to that place and they immediately turn toward the rising of the sun. Amen, they're facing the east. Amen, they're making their way from, amen, the westerly, place, positioning themselves, amen, that every day, amen, they are facing the sun rising. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a type. Amen. This is a type to me. Amen. As it describes the direction they're heading. Amen. It is a type to you and I of the hope the child of God finds in looking to the Lord. They're not facing the sun setting. They are facing the sun rising. Amen. The sun setting tells us darkness is settling in. The sun setting tells us, amen, another long day has come to an end. Amen. And nighttime and all that the night brings, amen, is surely about to grip our soul. Amen. But what they did, amen, in this path into the valley, amen, they began to look toward the sun rising. Amen. Now what would that speak to you and I about? Amen. Well, the Word of God said this, and weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. The sun rising speaks, amen, of a restored joy. Amen. When the sun gets up in the morning, it reminds you and I of the handiwork and the faithfulness of our God. They are positioning themselves in this path that they're on. Amen. Not to focus on the things that are depressing, but to focus upon the things that remind them of the hope they have in God. Remember what Jeremiah said about the mercies of the Lord? He said they are fresh and they are new every morning. And when the sun rises, and something about facing toward the sun rising, and when the dawn begins to break and the shadows of night begin to pass away and the sun is getting up, amen, it reminds him that God is faithful and God is merciful. And can I say in this path we're on, amen, some of us have been walking in a little while now. Amen, we have been tempted at times to turn back. Amen, but we've just kept on setting forward. And sometimes in that path, amen, we're brought to places we feel like, amen, we've only got a little left to run on. And it looks like others are running out and others are dying in heaps by the heaps, Seth. There are people forsaking this thing of the old time way. Amen, preacher, what ought we to do? Amen, quit looking at the sunset and look for the sunrise and realize your God is faithful. Am I making any sense tonight? Amen, I'm telling you, amen, you got to get toward the sunrise. Amen, you say, preacher, I'm in the sunset years of my life. Amen, but you better never lose sight of the sunrise. Amen, oh, I'm telling you, friend, amen, we're in a path sometimes. Amen, we feel like we ain't going to make it in the road and the night is long. But thank God if you look for the sunrise. Amen, I'm telling you, just like it did today. Amen, on tomorrow the sun's going to get up again. Amen, it's going to get up again. Amen, I ain't talking about looking for the S-U-N. I'm talking about the S-O-N. Amen, when it gets up in your life and moves in your life and you feel the rays of His radiant love, amen, begin to burn in your soul again. It don't matter what all small fold you come to. Amen. It don't matter what heap of ruins you see. Amen. God is the one that brought them through toward the sun rising. Amen. That's good preaching right there. Where's your life positioned toward? Is it positioned to the world? Is it positioned in a backward direction? My friend, is it toward the sun rising? Amen. You'll lose your hope. You get your eyes off the sun rising. Notice this. The Bible said toward the sun rising. From thence. Boy, I'm glad they didn't have to stay in Oboth. I'm glad they may have pitched in Adji-Abram, but amen, the Bible said that, oh, I'm about to run a lap. So long as they kept their eyes toward the sun rising, God wasn't going to leave them stay in them places. God in this text, He brings in the place that is a valley in its own right. And I won't preach on it tonight. Amen. Maybe we'll come back, but we're focused on the valley of Arnon, the path into the valley of Arnon. The Bible said from thence, from these places, they removed. Oh, hallelujah. Ain't you glad when God lets you get removed from something, amen, that just don't seem real good? You've kept your eyes on the sun rising and God says, okay, you just keep moving forward. We'll get on down the road. And they removed from there, and the Bible said they pitched their tents in another certain place, and it's called the Valley of Zered. The Valley of Zered, here's what Zered means. It literally means the place of an exuberant, that's the word. I sound real smart, don't I, Brother Jack? Exuberant. Everybody know what exuberant means? A bunches of. An exuberant amount of growth. It means this. It means a place that is to be lined with shrubbery. Amen. Now I'm done right here. I was supposed to be done 6 minutes ago, but I felt a breath in my soul. Here's what I wrote down. If in our path we just keep looking to God, keep looking toward the sun rising, He's the one that'll keep us safe behind His hedge. And along our way in this path into the valley, God will be growing our lives. Amen. I'm thankful tonight. You see, I'm not here. I've not made it all these 20-something years because I'm really anything. There have been times all I've had, just a little bottle, Brother Mike. Felt like I didn't have much to run on. And just any day, I'd be at the bottom of the water skin. I'd get the last drop I could. And I'd take my place among the heaps of the ruins of others that I've known that have bailed out along the way. Somehow, some way, in all of that, by God's grace, just kept looking to the sun rising. If you just keep your eyes on that, here's what I've learned, Brother L. If you just keep your eyes on God, God will bring you to a place where you feel the hedge that He builds for you to keep you safe. God will grow you through those places. You'll just keep positioned on the sunrise and God will grow your life. And one of these days you'll wake up and you'll come to a place where there will have been an exuberant amount of growth in your life. And it is a testimony of what God does for His children on this path. Because He knows you're headed to another valley, Gerald. He knows the valleys that are out there and the dry places that the joy is likely to be sucked out of your life. What He's doing tonight in our life is getting us ready for those days that when those days come, we can do as the children of Israel did. We can trust God and sing in our valleys. Amen. Amen. The valley of Arnon.